Today, Dr. and Mrs. Bay are saying, in God we trust. Everyone else has to prove themselves. Our scripture today is 2 Corinthians verses 8 and 9. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Sounds like we're at war today. Thaddeus was on the ground with his former army buddy and lifelong forever friend, Schofield, fondly referred to as Ditch'em, because as a war hero, he had thrown many a comrade into a ditch, shielding them with his own body to protect them from harm's way.
I salute you, Ditch'em.
At ease, Thaddeus, but keep a sharp eye out for the enemy.
A few times a year on patriotic holidays, Thaddeus, Ditch'em, and their wives would meet so the boys could take out the old uniforms and relive their military victories, playing war games. The girls were busy in the kitchen while Thaddeus and Ditch'em patrolled the conflict zone, reenacting their combative warfare on the living room floor, remembering the battles they fought to keep the precious freedoms they enjoyed and benefited from. The now elderly veterans were about to enter into enemy territory.
Lay low and keep an eye out for snipers, Thad.
Yes, sir. The last one missed me by a whisker, Ditch'em. But I've got my eyes to the trees and everywhere else the opponents might be hiding.
Thaddeus and Ditch'em were unarmed, except for some old brooms, which of course put them in a weapons-ready state, at least in the fantasy of their own minds.
Are you loaded, Ditch'em?
All barrels ahead, Thad.
Both gentlemen were basically non-combative by nature, but by the sounds emerging from the two over-the-hill soldiers of rapid fire, falling bombs, and grenades exploding all around them, it wasn't difficult to consider they had reached the midst of war territory.
Kaboom! Duck the head and keep your head down. That's an order.
Yes, sir. I'll keep my coconut below ammo fire.
It was difficult to know for certain what these two special operations forces were up to. So much was held in top secret from the girls and from Puddles, who had now taken cover under the furniture. Hortense and Emmeline couldn't figure out if they were attacking the enemy or keeping them at bay. But what really mattered now was that Mrs. Dr. Day and Mrs. Ditch'em were hoping and praying they would not have to call the paramedics this time to raise up the old bones off the floor and right them into standing position once the war games would end.
Oh, Emmeline, I pray we're not going to need the troops, the National Guard, the sheriffs, and the fire department once this military conquest ends.
I know what you mean, Hortense. Last time I remembered considering a crane to get them up off the floor. My Ditch'em laid in bed moaning for 3 days afterwards.
Hortense glanced at a somewhat frightened, confused, bug-eyed Puddles, who was crouched in the corner hiding for fear of being captured and taken behind enemy lines.
Okay, guys, time for a retreat. I'm issuing a bugle mess call.
Practicing has really improved your skills since our last visit.
Thanks, Emmeline. I've been working pretty hard at it. Not that it seems to be working, though.
The menfolk were paying no attention and just kept warring away.
Emmeline, check out my retreat call.
Well, Thaddeus and Ditcham were in their own little world and just weren't regarding Hortense's bugle efforts. So Mrs. Dr. Day boldly issued an order.
This is your new commander-in-chief. One of you two raise the white flag, call for surrender, and we'll have lunch. You can go back to the battle after we eat.
Hortense had some rations to serve up, and she wasn't going to be kept waiting by a skirmish. There was a reverent silence in the hearts of Thaddeus and Ditcham as they rested flat on their backs for a spell.
That was a tough one, Ditcham, but I think we have the enemy on the run.
With both Thaddeus and Schofield each individually reaching towards their wives, the military-minded doctor asserted,
"My dears, we've returned from war. Lend us your support and help us up, please."
"Certainly, my champion,"
Hortense answered.
"Emmeline is dialing for assistance as we speak."
Long since its beginnings, debate has stood, clashing differences between ideals, ideas, and values upon which our societies should exist. The evidence that our nation, the United States, was founded upon Christian Judaic values is indisputable. But today, what we will be considering is a question in the hearts and minds of many people. Has our nation stood thus far because of God's blessings, biblical, moral, and ethical standards, and because of the many men and women who have laid down their lives fighting unselfishly for our freedoms? We do appreciate the great sacrifices of the many who have served in our military. So, in our private time, we also need to meditate upon and be deeply thankful for those who have given so generously to secure our liberties thus far, and think about whether or not we are continuing to keep our freedoms carefully protected. God's divine and sovereign safeguard over those who will seek His guidance has been obvious throughout history. Yet, regardless as to whether or not our homeland had its dependence upon God at its conception, we need to understand the cost and reality of where we stand today and where what we are doing will lead us tomorrow if we lose sight of our need for Him, His supervision, and protection over all of our lives and country. Without going into detail, we can look at the lives of people like Daniel Webster, who said, "If we abide by the principles taught by the Bible, our country will go on prospering." Or this quote from Ulysses S. Grant, "Hold fast to the Bible as the sheet anchor of your liberties. Write its precepts upon your heart and practice them in your lives. To the influence of this book, we are indebted for the progress made, and to this we must look as our guide in the future." Dwight Eisenhower spoke, "The spirit of man is more important than mere physical strength, and the spiritual fiber of a nation than its wealth." The Bible has been endorsed throughout the ages. Our civilization is built upon its words. In no other book is there such a collection of inspired wisdom, reality, and hope. Harry Truman was among these great, commenting, "The fundamental basis of this nation's laws was given to Moses on the Mount. The crucial basis of our Bill of Rights comes from the teachings we get from Exodus and St. Matthew, from Isaiah and St. Paul." I don't think we emphasize that enough these days. If we don't have a proper fundamental moral background, we will finally end up with a totalitarian government which does not believe in rights for anybody except the state. Many great leaders of nations, such as Abraham Lincoln, Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, John Adams, Ronald Reagan, Winston Churchill, and Margaret Thatcher, were people of prayer that sought God's hand and the wisdom of the Bible through difficult wars and many other challenges. All of these applied biblical principles. These all acknowledged their need for God to help in guiding their decisions. They sought wisdom from on high, knowing how their actions would affect those they governed. The foundational principles of our United States Constitution can be traced to Deuteronomy 16, 18 through 20, and Exodus 18, 13 through 24. "Judges and officers shall you make in all your gifts states which the Lord your God gives you throughout your tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. You shall not pervert judgment, you shall not show partiality, neither take a bribe, for a bribe does blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. That which is altogether just shall you follow, that you may live and inherit the land which the Lord your God gives you. In the Exodus account, Jethro speaks to Moses, "Hearken now unto my voice. I will give you counsel, and God shall be with you. Represent the people before God, that you may bring the causes unto God. And you shall teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way in which they must walk, and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall provide out of all of the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them." Moses chose able men out of all of Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And they judged the people at all times. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. This is the pattern from which the fathers of our nation established basic rules to administer true justice. They followed the explicit guidelines of the Holy Scriptures. The founding fathers, without a doubt, accepted that justice and civil authority could only be successfully ruled by extensions of divine laws that came from God's direction and Bible, setting a precedent for righteousness. Proverbs 13:34 tells us, "Righteousness exalts a nation." The word righteousness is interchangeable with justice in many scriptural references. Justice and righteousness is a basic of the heartbeat of God. Throughout the Holy Scriptures, this justice and righteousness are two of the key elements that are recognized that make a nation grand and honorable. Within the preambles of every state of our union, we find acknowledgments to God, references expressing gratitude, and requests invoking the favor and guidance of Almighty God. Various states rely upon His protection and guidance and are grateful to the Supreme Being for their blessings, imploring His aid and asking for the direction of the sovereign ruler of the universe. When these preambles were written and established, it was clear the authors were seeking the righteousness and justice of God. Today, the front pages of our papers and headlines of our news hours paint a clear picture of a once great homeland torn by homelessness, upheaval in schools, joblessness, financial devastation, and so much more. We need to ask ourselves why our country and others are in such a state. The United States has always been labeled the greatest nation on earth, and this, I believe, we can attribute to the gracious guidance of our God and His generous hand of so many blessings. Courts have outlawed manger scenes, and threats of any reference or expression of Christianity are constant. In years past, we have allowed God's guidance to be taken out of our schools, our government, and even out of many of our churches. It would seem with every decline of honoring God and His ways, we decline also in many of the blessings that have upheld our populace. 2 Chronicles 7:14 states, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land." In God we know we can trust. His ways have worked. There seems to be a lack of evidence and far more proof that any other ways have had any measure of ongoing success. We seem to keep trying and repeating man's ways when what we need is God and His proven ways that do work. If we are to keep our freedoms, we need to bend our knees to the Supreme Lord of all, express our gratitude, rely upon His guidance, invoking His favor, and seek His divine leading and blessings. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The next door neighbor and his teenage sons were summoned for assistance to help the heroes rise from barely able to crawl position. They were able to get Thaddeus and Ditcham back into standing stances. Thaddeus, Hortense, Ditcham, and Emmeline talked into the wee hours of the morning. Lovingly, they cherished the flag, flying high outside of their window, waving gently in the wind, and proudly displaying the symbol of their great country. All saluted the symbolic freedoms the flag represented in their hearts. They thought upon the many men and women whose lives were forfeited or forever changed by the sacrifices they made to keep their countrymen out of harm's way and free. Hortense and Emmeline spoke with shaky voices in gratitude to God for having Thaddeus and Ditcham returned safely to them from the perils of war. Great teardrops fell with aching remembrances, and deep thankfulness was offered once again to God the Father, who had blessed their nation with security, prosperity, and so many other wonderful things. The gentlemen circulated stories of war and hardship over and over, rehearsing their foxhole experiences and talking about how prayer and God got them through the many difficulties and losses of fellow servants who, with their lives, paid such high prices to help keep the freedoms. Thaddeus acknowledged that he did not know the Lord at that time, but looking back now, understood God's sovereign hand and how Ditcham and others who had always been devout Christians had been keeping him under the radar of the enemy by covering him with supernatural power of prayer. And Thaddeus thought of the moment when Ditcham risked his life for all the men in a foxhole, grabbing a grenade about to explode and throwing it out of range while casting his body on top of Mr. Dr. Day to protect him. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Thaddeus, Ditcham, and the girls bowed their heads and hearts in silence, reflecting upon the greatest sacrifice of all, Jesus Christ, who went to war for us against the enemy of our souls and won the victory, ensuring our eternal freedoms if we choose him. The scripture from Romans 5:8 entered Thaddeus' spirit.
God commends his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
The love of Jesus and our Father is so great and so deep, it wars and wins against every plan of the enemy. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You may be facing a war at this moment with forces unseen. I assure you, God is in the midst of winning the battle with and for you. He's just a prayer away. A very deep and personal thanks to all those who have served in our military. For contact information about one of the valuable ministries we desire to help support, American Minute and Faith in History, both with William Federer, please go to our ministry's page. William Federer is a God-anointed expert who expresses solid foundational and present historical, as well as biblical facts with accuracy, exactness, and uncompromising truth. Return with us next week and experience another event in the walk to the throne of God with Dr. and Mrs. Day and Associates.
Okay, Thaddeus, you can stop now. Ditcham has gone home. Puddles, take cover.
Keep your grenades capped, but annihilate the enemy with the word and works of God, folks.
Stop with the war noises. Cut it out now. It's all over.